Back here on KATE Radio Afternoons with Aaron on this Tuesday, and yesterday, of course, the Memorial Day holiday, so we did not get a chance to talk with Mike Grimm from the Minnesota News Network, their sports director. But Mike, nice enough to join us on a Tuesday to talk Minnesota sports. And Mike, a good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you. Yeah, hopefully everyone had a good Memorial Day weekend, and now we're ready, getting back into a normal week here.
Absolutely. Well, let's start with the Minnesota Twins. And I'll be honest with you, I've mentioned your name a few times in the last couple of weeks because I think it was like 2 weeks ago, things were looking dire for the Minnesota Twins. And then they got hot for a little bit. They take on Kansas City. They drop a 2-3 against the Royals. But Baltimore, the Orioles right now, they're the cure for everybody. Everybody wants the O's on their schedule because they might be the worst team in baseball. Twins not only beat the O's yesterday, they win an extra inning game, and these are the series where if the Twins are really going to make a push before that flag day that you mentioned before, that you had a buddy that said flag day is the date where you look at the standings to determine if your team is really in the hunt for the division. The Twins have to take advantage of these games against teams like the Orioles, and they did that yesterday.
Yeah, no question. The Twins are a team that they were 0-8 to start extra innings this year, and now they're 2-0 in their last two. So that's good. Obviously, that they're figuring out how to win some games. I got a little nerve wracking yesterday. Robles luckily wiggled out of some trouble there in the 10th. It didn't look good there for a minute, but it was good to get the win. And no doubt, you got to take advantage of these kind of games. I wish. I wish they could have handled Kansas City a little better over the weekend because, I don't think the Royals are particularly great, so you have to try to take care of that. But, losing 2-3 to them doesn't help the cause. But, I proclaimed them dead a couple of weeks ago. They have come out of that slumber a little bit. The White Sox have still been playing some pretty good baseball, and you don't necessarily have to, get past the White Sox to get into the postseason and have a chance. But at the same time, a lot has depended on, it's amazing. We talked about this maybe, 3 weeks ago, that the pitchers now have been allowed to pitch longer. The bullpen has been rested. And guess what? Just like that, the bullpen starts to pitch better because they're allowed, to go into the spots they think they should be put into. They're a little bit more rested. They haven't had to make 17 moves in, 5 days to keep the roster fresh. And, even yesterday, Barrios going into the ninth inning is big because now you've got a full arsenal today, basically, of, I think Taylor Rogers threw to one or two hitters yesterday and Robles threw the 10th. They're probably still available today. So instead of, going 7 straight days where your starter's gone 5 innings, and look, sometimes that has been the starter's fault because they haven't pitched particularly well, but usually it's been the decision of the team, the manager and his staff to pull guys. And I think we feel like these guys are now in shape, we wanted to work them in, but it's not a coincidence, I don't think, that all of a sudden, these starters are now being allowed to pitch a few extra innings and all of a sudden the bullpen, hey, look, I got Tyler Duffy, he can pitch the 7th like we want him to, and I've got, Robles, he can pitch the 9th, and Taylor Rogers, we can kind of work around here, and he hasn't had to pitch 3 days in a row because you got to fill 4 innings 5 days straight. So that part, I think, has been good as well. I don't think it's been a coincidence. I mean, you could easily say, look, the starters are pitching better, so they're pitching longer, and certainly that's part of it. But they're being allowed to go a little longer, which is nice.
Mike Grimm, Minnesota News Network sports director here on KATE Radio. And over the weekend, I'm just flipping through the channels, and Moneyball pops on, which is a fantastic baseball movie. And things seem to stem when it comes to, and when I say stem, changes that managers make. They base it on stats and numbers and analytics and all that good stuff. But we've seen managers, and I think Rocco Baldelli has been guilty of this too, where you look too much into the numbers. And Tampa Bay last year in the World Series, they took out Blake Snell when he was pitching well, and it was probably based on numbers that I think Twins fans are happy to see the starters going longer because – you look at those numbers, you look at the analytics, and a lot of managers base their choices on that. And like you mentioned, you wrap a great point. The starters, if they're pitching well and you're not wearing out the bullpen, there's going to be more success for this Twins pitching staff.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm not even like I'm pro analytics. I think absolutely the analytics is a smart way to go about it. But I think the thing that gets forgotten is every decision that is made also has an impact on something else analytically. And it's much harder to analyze, okay, well, what happens when the bullpen has to pitch 20 innings in 4 days? What do the analytics tell you? Well, whatever, I don't know if there's a way to figure that out, but I can tell you the stats will say they stink when they have to do that. So, there's something to be said for a balancing act there. And I'm for if a guy's getting beaten around, get him out of there. Absolutely. But there have been, you know, at least twice a week, it seems, and maybe it's a hyperbole. I don't think it is, but I think at least twice a week for the first, 2 months of the season, there was a starter who was like at 85 pitches and threw four or five innings, and he's getting handshakes in the dugout. And I'm thinking, it isn't a race to get to the bullpen. I mean, the analytics might say it is, but that's a killer. There was a stretch, I think I said this before, there was a stretch where I was, I just happened to be in the car a lot at night. I was doing errands and running around town. So I listened to four or five nights in a row, and this is when it kind of dawned on me. Every night, Danny and Corey were like, well, this guy's unavailable. This guy can't pitch. He threw 58 pitches last night. This guy threw 3 days in a row. This guy's 2 days in a row. He warmed up 2 days ago and pitched today, so he won't be available tomorrow. And it's like, well, look, you have seven or eight guys in the bullpen, and if three aren't available every night, all of a sudden you have to bring in, somebody else that isn't used to pitching the seventh. And I know they don't really have assigned roles, but they kind of do. It just it wears you out, literally. And, it was crazy. They were making one or two moves every day. Guy going to St. Paul, guy coming back, guy getting sent down, guy coming over. And, poor Cody Stashek, I think he's got, more. No one's been between Minneapolis and St. Paul more than that guy. And I do think part of the problem that he has had, because he certainly hasn't gotten a lot of outs and he's given up some home runs, is he just hasn't had a consistent role. And, he works two or three days in a row. He gets put in a blowout. And hopefully things will and have stabilized here where he can become more effective.
Minnesota News Network Sports Director Mike Grimm joining us here on a Tuesday, Afternoons with Aaron. And let's touch quick on the Minnesota Wild. Their season came to an end on Friday night. It was a nice comeback to force a game seven, but in the end, Vegas showed how good they are, and they beat Minnesota. I believe the final score was 6-2 on Friday. Mike, my thoughts are, even though it's disappointing they got knocked out in the first round of the postseason, I think a lot of hockey experts would say that division with Colorado and Vegas, whoever wins that series, I think a lot of analysts would predict them to be the favorite to win the whole thing. So the Wild had a tough draw to begin with. I think the Wild surprised a lot of people this year, and the future definitely looks bright for our favorite hockey team.
Yeah, I agree. They're a year or two ahead of where I think we thought they would be. I mean, at the start of this year, there were people that thought this team wasn't a postseason team, let alone a team that, maybe had a legitimate chance. And you're right, it's weird because people get to pick and choose their narratives. And there was a while during the season where the narrative was, well, the Wild are really lucky to be in this division. They get to play San Jose and Anaheim and the Kings stink. And I'm like, yeah, but they also, have to play Vegas and Colorado. And the St. Louis Blues are just a year, I guess now two removed from a Stanley Cup. And they finally got healthy, and we saw how good they were. And they had the Wild's number, right? They just kept beating them late in the season, and so the division was wicked. There's no question about it. And I honestly haven't followed outside the Wild division to know really just how good everybody else might be. This was one of those weird years where it was really hard to follow, and it's really hard to compare. But I agree with you, Colorado. Colorado looks to be the class of the league. We'll see if that's the case. But I think from the Wild standpoint, they're ahead of where we thought they'd be, anyone. I think Kirill Kaprizov has kind of energized the franchise and the fan base, and he is a difference maker. Now, he didn't have a particularly great postseason, but that's okay. Sometimes you have to learn, right? You have to experience what the postseason's about, because it is a different brand. I think probably hockey is the biggest difference between what happens in the regular season and then what goes on in the postseason. Like basketball changes a little as well in the NBA, but the NBA is just purely driven on talent. There just frankly isn't much luck, in basketball. You got, if you have LeBron James and Anthony Davis, you're probably going to win the most games, right? And now that doesn't mean the Lakers will win this year. They certainly did last year. Where you can be the best team in the National Hockey League and you may not win it. The Blackhawks had a nice run there where, that's about as close, I think, to a dynasty as you're going to get. There were some years, I think the Kings won the thing when they were an 8 seed 1 year, not that long ago. So it's a little different in hockey. And so the play's different. The standard of officiating in terms of what's a penalty and what's not is different in the postseason. I think Kaprizov struggled, frankly, with that a little bit here in that so much more interference isn't the right term, but turbulence, so much more clutching and grabbing is allowed and cross-checking. I mean, there were some hockey folks that were tweeting out all these different pictures of Kaprizov just getting cross-checked all game long. And, in the regular season, you're going on the 5-on-4, and in the postseason, that doesn't happen. So it's okay. It's fine. He struggled, but there was a reason. Now he knows what it's about. He's been through it once, and I think you'd look for him to grow next year. And I think Bill Guerin has already proven that he can remove emotion, which I think is always one of the biggest deterrents to success from a general manager. You get attached to guys, and it's fine. I mean, it should be a game of emotion. And especially guys, okay, I drafted him, I've watched him come up. But part of why the Patriots have been so good for so long is Bill Belichick removes emotion from every personnel decision. He may like you, but he still might touch you if it means he's going to win a game, or win more games. And so I think Guerin, we'll see as he continues to put together the roster, and it's easy to cut guys that you didn't sign or you didn't bring in and change and trade. And we'll see now as he compiles a roster that is mostly his guys over the next year or two, how that may change. But they'll obviously have some opportunities to, change the roster a little bit. I think there's no doubt they need to add. It'd be great to add a frontline center. I mean, like a top flight center, a number one line center. And how they do that, I don't know. Do they have to trade one of the defensemen? That'd be unfortunate if they do, but they may. Draft picks, I don't know. Free agency, don't know. I honestly don't know for sure what the cap situation is and who's available yet. I haven't dived into that. But it'd be nice for them to tweak a little, and I agree. I think they, it was a really good first full season under head coach Dean Evason. I also liked what he did. I guess the only knock is the way he handled the Zach Parise thing in the postseason. Maybe he could have helped earlier in that series when they were really struggling scoring goals, because he's a postseason veteran. He has been through the wars, and two, he's a guy that they probably should have used on the power play, but that they have their reasons. But I think generally it was a pretty darn good season, and to me it seems they're ahead of where most of us reasonably thought they should be.
Talking Minnesota sports with Mike Grimm here on this Tuesday afternoon on Kate Radio. And Mike, before I let you go, of course, Mike, the voice of Golden Gopher football and men's basketball, what's new right now when it comes to a Gopher athletics? I know the softball team, they lost a couple in their NCAA tournament run came to an end. Football, basketball, anything new in that department?
Nothing too much. The football team is now mostly back. They're doing their summer workouts. This is a time now where the strength and conditioning coaches take over. They're allowed to see the players, much more. The coaching, the regular coaching staff now in the off season, there's NCAA limits on how much they can see them. I think it's a couple hours a week. Summer school at the U of M, I think, starts next week, so most of those kids will be, taking a summer class, and then they'll get together and have captain's practices and be in the weight room. So they're getting there. Like the Vikings today, are back to OTAs, organized team activities, and there's no fancy name for what the Gophers are going through, but it's something similar. Two or three days a week they'll get together, not with the coaches, but just on their own, and they'll do some practices, but they're in the weight room a lot. So that's one thing. Another thing is next week, they are going through what they're calling the week of giving, and they're calling on their donors to step up after the pandemic. I think now that things have calmed down, they're feeling like, hey, and it seems the economy's getting better. It seems You know, I mean, I'm just looking at the I saw a story of the housing market. The house prices are going crazy, and there's some other, you know, area. Unemployment is seemingly doing better. All that stuff. So anyway, I think they feel it's a good time to maybe say, hey, look, we're still trying to recover from this. We didn't sell a single ticket or very few tickets last year. We're down from a revenue standpoint, like 40-some million dollars. Now, that doesn't mean they lost $41 million, because expenses also went down. They didn't have as much travel. Coaches took a pay cut. There was some expenses saved along the way. But from a revenue standpoint, they were down about $40-45 million. So clearly you got to try to recover from that. So I think they feel like now's the time. So next week they're going to put on a push they're going to call it the Week of Giving. And the entire week is focused on trying to raise money to endow scholarships and have that help them. And I think, and that's for all sports. And I think what people sometimes don't understand is the Gopher Athletic Department, it's not just like it's a free education. So if a young man from Minneapolis goes to Minnesota on a full ride, it's not like, oh, well, he, you know, it's just they don't have to pay that. The athletic department actually writes a check each year for around $13-14 million and sends it across campus to the general budget. It comes out of the athletic department. It goes into the general budget because it costs money, you know, for those kids for room and board. They have to pay. The school's not just giving those scholarships out. So a lot of schools have endowed scholarships. Like, I think the Nebraska football team has endowed almost every scholarship. And it's kind of a cool thing. What they do is, some rich guy, and it's not even always rich guys. Sometimes it's farmers. Like, this was weird. I was at Nebraska a few years ago. They're playing a promo up on the scoreboard at a football game to farmers, saying, hey, if you don't have cash to donate, you can donate, like, cows, and we'll sell them and take the money. And farmers are doing that. And I'm not kidding you. Like, and you think about it, if the beef prices are high, you donate 3 cows, that's a sizable donation after Nebraska sells that, you know. And so they have, when I say endowed, and I don't know what the number is, I'll just pretend to throw a number out. But let's say it's, I don't know, $50,000, $100,000. It's so big money. But if you donate $100,000, you can endow that scholarship, and that scholarship then is perpetually funded. And one of the cool things, and they do this at Minnesota as well, just not as much as some other places, and I think this is the next push amongst fundraising, is to do that. Because then if you can cover each year that $13 million, then that obviously gets, you can do other creative things with that money if it gets endowed on a perpetual basis. So the nice thing is, let's say Aaron Worm writes a big check to the Gophers and it's an endowed scholarship, you can actually say, I want to endow this scholarship for the point guard on the men's basketball team every year. So they'll do that. So really? Every year the point guard on the men's basketball team will be studying under the Aaron Worm athletic scholarship.
Well, that's
and
neat.
Then they have this annual dinner where you come and sit, and the Gopher point guard comes and sits with you, and you guys have dinner, and you get to hear Mike Grimm make terrible jokes, and it's pretty cool. So, anyway, that's the push next week. Obviously, they're going to try to get current donors to step up. I'm sure they're going to try to create some interest with maybe some new people who might want to come on board and step up, and we'll see how successful it is. But I think that's one of the things here this offseason to keep an eye on.
Minnesota News Network Sports Director Mike Grimm joins us each week here on KATE Radio AM 1450. Mike, thank you so much for the time. Like always, have you a good rest of your week, and we'll catch up next week.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.